Jesus, Savior, may I know your love and make it known. Amen. Please be seated. This is one of those days when you get to have at least a small taste of what it was like to live in the Greco-Roman world. In that world, people were surrounded by coexisting, overlapping, often conflicting religions and festivals, and too many gods to track, much less appease. And here we are on Super Bowl Sunday, one of the high holy days of the secular calendar, with athletes as our secular priests. Over in the Twitter sphere, one professor said, "Today is a day for classicists to tweet, discuss, and celebrate the superb owl," as opposed to the Super Bowl. See? She posted photos of owls from the ancient world to the delight of Rice alums everywhere, I'm sure. And the more eccentric among us, always, always, always remember that February 2nd is Groundhog Day. Y'all are very good at that. Many of you observed this feast of St. Phil of Punxsutawney alongside or in place of the Super Bowl. And a few of you are surely picturing Bill Murray right now. I know you're sitting in a pew in church, but you're thinking of Bill Murray as Phil Connors in the movie Groundhog Day, repeating this peculiar holiday over and over and over again, having the same experiences each day after his alarm clock wakes him. Being trapped in daily repetition is how most of us have felt as we try to make sense of the news out of Washington or listen to voices from the Senate impeachment trial on our car radio. For some people, aspects of that have become what they worship, as if we now lived in the Roman Empire. Perhaps the least of the lesser feasts on this day is celebrated in the state of Alaska. It is today, for real, I'm not making this up, Marmot Day, celebrating the heaviest member of the squirrel family. And so I like to imagine children in an Anchorage classroom reciting this poem together. Alas, we're a long way from warm skeeter season. The temperature steadily skulks below freezing. The golf links are snow-packed. The sidewalks are slick. The ice on the driveway is 9 inches thick. But if tulips don't yet appear on the hill, we can still dream that sooner or later they will. A Marmot Day custom that's easy to keep if you make like wise marmot and go back to sleep. Well, I, for one, am grateful that you all did not go back to sleep in honor of Marmot Day, or because these many other gods, these small gods, were calling you away from the Lord's people and the Lord's day and the Lord's house. And we are here to celebrate something different. We are here to celebrate the Feast of the Presentation. And that's what's described in our reading this morning from Luke's Gospel. It's when Mary and Joseph bring their baby to the temple in Jerusalem 40 days after his birth, the birth that we celebrated at Christmas. This is the first time, according to Jewish law, that Mary is able to return to a sacred space after having given birth. And she can only do that by bringing something for a burnt offering, a sacrifice. It's supposed to be a lamb, together with a pigeon or a turtle dove. But the poor who cannot afford a sheep, they are allowed to bring two turtle doves instead. And in case you missed that part, Mary and Joseph bring with them only the two birds, because they cannot afford to bring a lamb. Their son Jesus was born into a poor Jewish family. And so they came to the temple with the only offering they could afford to bring. Maybe they thought it would be a quick visit, you know? In and out, check the box, all done, go to the outlets afterwards. I don't know. I don't know what was on their agenda. But the reason we celebrate this day is because that's not what happened. Instead, they're found by two people, a man named Simeon, who was devout and righteous, and a woman named Anna, who was a prophet and prayed in the temple both day and night. Anna knew this baby had something to do with the redemption of Israel, And Simeon knew that too. He had been promised that he would see God's Messiah, our Savior, before his death. And he was led by the Holy Spirit to come into the temple for that to be fulfilled as he took the infant Jesus in his arms. And holding Jesus, he praised God with one of my favorite prayers in the New Testament. And a lot of us here today love the version of it that appears in the Book of Common Prayer. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to be a light to lighten the Gentiles, and to be the glory of thy people, Israel. Sometimes, whether alone or with others, when praying those words at evening prayer in the chapel at Camp Allen, which is our diocesan camp and conference center in Navasota, sometimes when saying those words, I get a little teary-eyed. I love how this prayer is so very personal at the beginning. Simeon addresses the Lord of life and asks for permission to die peacefully now that the promise to him has finally become a reality. He has seen God's salvation as he holds this child. And then, as if the heavenly gates that lead to salvation, to wholeness and healing, to eternal life are being flung wide open, Simeon's words embrace not only God's people, but also those who are outside the boundaries of God's people. His words embrace us, Gentiles who have been adopted into God's family, people who had once not received mercy but have now received mercy. And this baby, this Jesus, is the light showing us the divine mercy and grace and compassion and forgiveness and acceptance that we are so desperately in search of. This baby, this Jesus, is the light illuminating our long journey through the darkness to the dawn. Simeon was deeply devoted to God because he was a part of God's people. Studying the scriptures communally is how he learned who God is and what God has done and what God will do. That's the context in which the Holy Spirit led Simeon to the temple to meet Jesus. And that's where Anna, in her old age, practiced her rich life of prayer. However she situated herself there, she was surrounded by God's people. She was in the temple longing for redemption and mercy, not only for herself, but for the whole city of Jerusalem, for all of God's people within its walls, and the surprise later being that God's love spills over those walls. This past week, I read a comment by someone who's Jewish, contrasting how Jews and Christians think about themselves collectively. And this person said, "There is no doubt that Jews are much more, for a lack of a better word, belongy. They belong to a people. We belong to a people too. It's just that we forget that most of the time. Most of the time we think of ourselves as individuals rather than a people, but we are a people. A people born out of divine mercy and led by the Holy Spirit to gather around this table and to be fed here. This is where we meet Jesus. This is where we learn about Jesus, reading the scriptures together and reflecting on a life of faith, our life of faith together. This is where we receive in our hands the presence of Christ in bread and wine made holy food. And in doing that, ordinary children, women, and men are made holy people. And that, my friends, is why the church is called the body of Christ. Yes, some of them are annoying, and vice versa, I'm sure, including myself. But that's the miracle of grace. We who were once not a people have been made a people. We have been made children of God and members of the household of God. Now, the good news is that you don't have to stay here day and night like Anna stayed in the temple, so you can go home after the service. Indeed, Jesus himself sends us out into the world to meet him there too, in the shadows, in the brokenness, in the midst of human need. And coming on Sundays isn't meant to be an experience of Groundhog Day, the movie. It's meant to be the place where you can open your arms like Simeon did to receive a blessing in the person of Jesus. Think of those runners in the Houston Marathon who passed in front of this church while I was standing outside a couple of Sundays ago. The ones who seemed the most free, like they were being led by the Holy Spirit, they weren't overly pious or weird about it, and they didn't even use any words. They simply held their arms out like this to receive a blessing. And I hope you'll meet Jesus and see the salvation he brings to you and to me and to the whole world with that same kind of freedom, with that same kind of joyful expectation in this temple today. Amen.